Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 26th of December. I'm your host, Paul White. Hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you are settling in nicely, about to finish the week and get your sights set on the new year, which is rapidly approaching. I'm one more voice in the fray, of course, contributing to the sound of man, hasn't it went by quickly? Of course, they always do, and as you get older, they seem to go much more rapidly. But here we are, facing the end of 2019. I have had a tremendous year. I'm going to do a little bit of a review on this month's essay edition, and I don't mean just a review of 19, but this is a special close in that on the calendar, it's the close to a decade. And I want to give just a, it's not going to be a blow-by-blow account, but some of the journey that I've been on for 10 years. If you rewound 10 years ago, no book, and getting my feet under me in this message of grace in the finished work. And so I look forward to writing that and putting it together. The essay edition airs on the final podcast of every month. So that will be New Year's Eve, the 31st. It will air, and that's coming up in just a few days. The next several days before that essay edition, we're going to work here in 1 Corinthians 15. That has us, we won't finish the chapter, we're barely started. But that means that we'll work on 15 and 16 into the new year. And then when we finish that, my plan is to go into 2 Corinthians. I try to leave that open-ended just in case something else surfaces. But we'll do that very soon. Also, probably the first Friday of the new year, I will have a long-form Friday for you. It will be from our trip to Minnesota. I'll tell you more about that next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start over with 3 and 4. I'm not going to go through them. I just want to read them. It sets the stage for our context. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We did a podcast on the Scriptures Paul might be referencing about Jesus' death. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We did another podcast on what it might mean that he was raised again on the third day. Resurrection Scriptures according to the Old Testament. Verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. That's the Aramaic word for Peter. Paul uses that almost exclusively. He does say Peter, but it's rare. Most of the time, he references him as Cephas. That was pronounced Cephas, where I come from as a kid. It's the same person, by the way, Peter and Cephas or Cephas. Then by the 12, so seen by Peter, then by the other 12, and by the 12, he means that 12th added disciple from the book of Acts chapter 1, because Judas Iscariot did not live long enough to see a resurrected Jesus. That's one of the tragedies of the New Testament, is that Judas hanged himself while his redemption was going to the cross. Don't hang yourself when Jesus is going to hang on your behalf. Verse 6, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, and some have fallen asleep. Here is a perfect example of the Bible being written for you, but not to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 6, Jesus was seen by over 500 people at one time. The greater part of those 500 remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Remain to the present what? To now? December 26, 2019? No. They remain to the present, the time that Paul is writing this letter. So when you're in a present crisis, like he was back in chapter 7, verse 26, the present distress, present crisis, that's something happening in his time. Yet another timestamp moment in this letter. So last days, or these last days, or the end, we upon whom the ends of the world have come. Don't put yourself in the pronoun we. It's not always to you. 1 Corinthians 15:6, the greater part of the 500 was still alive when he wrote this letter. None of the 500 are still alive now. And that's obvious. Nobody argues that point. But I think sometimes when we go into a text thinking we know what it means, we're more likely to put ourselves into the text. When we assume we don't apply, we don't have any problem seeing it. None of us assume that the 500 that saw Jesus are still alive. We know he means in his time. So keep that as a universal application when you listen to the writings of the New Testament. So the greater part of them remain to the present. Some have fallen asleep. That's a phrase that is translated, it's the same as dead. And there is some confusion from time to time between sleeping and dying in the New Testament. I'm currently in the 11th chapter of John on my weekly Bible study with our group in Georgia. We post those, by the way, on Wednesdays. That was yesterday. We don't have a new one up this week, by the way. That's another aside. Do not have a new Tuesday Bible study this week because we didn't meet for Christmas week. All right, so if you've been looking, wondering, when's this week's Bible study? It's the only week of the year, 2 years in a row now, the only week of the year we don't have study is Christmas week. Okay. But in John 11, Jesus makes the comment that Lazarus was asleep, and the disciples say, well, then if he's asleep, he'll be okay. And Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. And he had to actually elaborate because sleep was a reference for dying. And some argue, and there's a pretty compelling argument, that the reason the Jewish mentality used the phrase sleep is because it was viewed to be sleeping until a resurrection. John 11 seems to be laying out that case, that there's a resurrection to come, and you should view what you're doing as sleep up until that resurrection. That seems to be one interpretation of that word. So when Paul says, some have fallen asleep, of course, he's not talking about they got sleepy and took a nap, but that they died. And so there's a New Testament parallel to the Lazarus story in John 11, right here in 1 Corinthians 15:6. Verse 7, after that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And that's a reference to the Damascus Road experience. Paul considers himself an apostle, and Paul considers himself an apostle on par with Cephas and James and the other apostles. He only names two of them, Cephas, Peter, and James. But he says, I'm as one born out of due time. I don't want to dwell on this because it's not really fair. Paul's not here to defend himself, but this is a little pretentious by Paul to consider himself on par with them. If you're like me, you wouldn't mind a touch more humility in this moment from Paul. I'm not cutting him down, but I do find it interesting that he calls himself one of them born out of due time. He does turn around in verse 9 and declare himself to be the least of the apostles. I want to use that when we start tomorrow, and that leads us into a pretty good verse on responsibility. We'll jump into that fray, that's verse 9 and 10, on tomorrow's podcast. I'll see you then. God bless.